holding on page Nun Vav in Brachos, the paragraph labeled Shom Masnisim Yom Gamliel Omer, for those using other editions in the middle of Ois Ein Zayin. So the subject of the Perek, as we've been saying, is Dinim of Shemana Esrei. So now, continuing on that topic, the Mishnah says, Yom Gamliel Omer B'chol Yom V'yom Mispal Onim Shemana Esrei. Every day a person has to daven the entire 18 brachas of Shemana Esrei. Meaning, as opposed to, there are other Tanoim in the Mishnah who say that, no, you can get away with davening Me'ein Shemana Esrei, which the Gemara defines later on, is the Gemara is going to give a couple of definitions, and the halacha is that it's the Tefillah Havinein, where you have one, you have the three first brachas, one long bracha that encapsulates the 13 middle ones, and then the three last ones, but Ram Gamliel will say, no, you can't get away with that, you have to, on a regular basis, daven Shemana Esrei. So the Gemara asks, Hani Yud Ches Keneged Me? Why specifically are there 18 brachas of Shemana Esrei? What, corresponding to what? So the Amar of Hillel Breid of Shmuel Bar Nachmani connected Yud Ches Hazkaris Shalom David Bahavol Hashem Bnei Eved. In Kapitel Chof Tes of Tilim, Mizmor David Bahavol Hashem Bnei Eved, 18 times it says Hashem's name. So corresponding to that is why we have 18 brachas. What is the connection? Why is there a connection with that capital? So Rashi says because the beginning, the first two psukim of that capital have hints in them to the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that when it said, when, how do we know that there has to be a bracha regarding the others? Because we start out, Hogol Hashem b'nei Elim, give honor to Hashem, you sons of mighty people. The mighty people being the others. How do we know that we have to have a bracha about the power of Hashem? Because it continues, Chavul Hashem, covered ba'oz. How do we know that we have to have a bracha about the holiness of Hashem's name, Atta Kaddish? Because it continues, Chavul Hashem, kavod shmo. So therefore, so we have a remez to those three brachas in that capital, and therefore the Chachamim saw fit to model Shemana Esrei on that capital. Marsha mentions another point as well. Most of the brachas in the weekday Shemana Esrei, which is what we're talking about, are asking Hashem for our various needs. Therefore, we want to associate them with a place where we have 18 times the name Havaya, because that's the name of Hashem's Rachman. So that's the connection. Rabbi Yosef Omar, connected Shemona Esrei as Koras Shiva Kurishma. It corresponds to the 18 times that Hashem's name is mentioned in the Parashias of Kurishma. Is another reason for the 18. And Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Shoban Levi, a third reason, connected Shemona Esrei Chorius Shiva Shadra, it corresponds to the 18 vertebrae in the spine. Depending on how you count the vertebrae, modern medicine, for example, usually counts 17, but there's different books on medicine in the Gemara and so forth that deal with these kinds of things explain that either the Gemara is counting one of the bones at the bottom of the spine in the sacrum, or one of the bones in the top in the neck. In the neck, you have 7 vertebrae. Those are not counted among the 18, but one of them may be for one reason or another. Whatever the case, the point is you end up with 18. And the Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Yishor ben Levi, in this connection, there's an actual connection. It's not just that there happened to be 18 vertebrae, and therefore the Chachamim made 18 brachas. The connection is, the Omer of Tanchum, Omer of Yishor ben Levi, Hamispalel, when a person is davening Shemana Esrei, and it comes to the point where he's supposed to be bowing, he has to bow until all the vertebrae in his spine stick out. Rashi explains that shispakuku means that you can see the joints between one and the next, so that the vertebrae themselves stick out, and you can see the spaces, the intervertebral discs between them. Ula has a different definition. You have to bow. Ad shiyir iser k'neged libo, until you see an iser opposite your heart. Now, there are a couple of different explanations that the Rishonim have of what that means. Rashi explains that when you bow down low, then you have, it forms creases in the, on your chest. So you have two creases with a space of about the size of an iser, which is a small coin from the time of the Gemara, between them, then you know that you bowed enough. That's one definition. And then a different definition that some of the Rishonim say is that it means that if there were to be an Iser coin, or Rabbi Chaim Goyin among others brings this and others, that if there were to be an Iser coin on the ground in front of you, you would be able to see it. which means, in other words, that when you're bowing, you can't just be that you're bowing your back. You also have to bow your head downward so that you'd be able to see it. In Hasidus, actually, there's a few places in Likutei Torah, and there's other places in Hasidus where the Alter Rebbe explains a deeper meaning behind this Isar Keneged Liboy. The word Isar is, besides meaning a name of a coin, is also related to the word Osir, as in tied up. So it means there has to be a tie, there has to be a connection between your heart and your mind when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. It has to be Moyach Shalot Alalev, and therefore when you're bowing and showing your obeisance to Hashem, it has to be in a way that you're showing that your heart is bound to your brain, and both of them are in sync, serving Hashem together. So the Gemara continues, Rav Chanina Omar, Kivin Shenia Naroshe Shuvei Nitzarech. Rav Chanina says, you don't need all of that. Once the person has shaken his head and bent his head down, then he doesn't need anything else. That he doesn't need to actually bow his spine. Omar Rava Behuda Mitzar Nafshe, that last statement of Rav Chanina would apply only if the person is having trouble. So he's trying to bow, but he can't because his spine is he has a bad back or whatever. Omerse Kamanda Kara, so he's showing that he is trying to bow, but he can't because his back hurts. Then if he just bends down his head, it's enough. But other than that, if he's capable of bowing, then he needs to actually do so. By the way, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, I think it's actually based on someplace else in the Gemara, although I don't remember where, that also, on the other hand, a person shouldn't bow too much, because mechzi ki yuar, or it looks like he's priding himself, look what a tzaddik, look what a chassid I am, that I'm bowing so much. So it shouldn't be to the point where in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that it shouldn't be to the point where his mouth is opposite his belt. That would be bending down too far. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Hani tmani surei? What do you mean there are only 18 brachas? Shas surei have them. You know there are 19 brachas." Rav Levi, birkas tzdukim biyavne tiknua. The answer is the bracha against the tzdukim, and really, by the way, that was changed by the censors. The original name of it is birkas aminim. That was arranged in Yavne, meaning, in other words, originally there were 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, but as the Rambam explains, in that time, we're talking shortly after the Churban, the minim were starting to proliferate among the Jewish people. In particular, the minim means the early Christians, and it was a great sadah for the Jewish people. So the Chachamim of that time, as we're going to say soon, Rambam Gamliel, decided that is something no less essential for the Jewish people than all the other things that we ask for in Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore they decided that it needs to be added, that a bracha for it needs to be added in Shemoneh Esrei. And the point was also, the Gemara goes on to say, it had a practical benefit also, because this way, in those times, many of these minim looked outwardly like Jews. They believed in their own krumah ideas of Yiddishkeit mixed with whatever else, but on the outside they looked like Jews. So now such a person is going to come down by the Yomud. He's not going to want to say the Birkas Aminim, which is a curse against him and his group. So therefore that'll dissuade them from joining us in the shuls altogether, and that way they'll go off and do their own thing, and they're not going to be trying to drag us in with them. So Keneged Mi Tiknua. Now, the question is, we said before various things that the number 18 corresponds to. Once we're saying that they had to add a 19th bracha, but what do they have in each of these things that the 19th one would correspond to? So, Amar Rav Levi Breder Shmuel Ben Achmeni, Lirab Hillel, according to Rav Hillel, which we had at the beginning, that he said it was Keneged, the 18 names of Hashem, the 18 times that it says Havaya in Mizmor L'David Hovel Hashem Me'ilim. Well, Keneged Kela Kovet Hirim. So you have another name of Hashem that it says there, which is not Hashem Havaya. It's the name Kael, but it says the Kael of glory has thundered. So that was Keneged. That's Keneged the 19th one, which Marsha explains. In other words, the point is that, like this, the minim, that they believe that there's only one Havaya. They're not going to claim that there's more than one. But when it comes to Kael, they believe that there's two. Or one of the ideas of the minim was that there are two gods, a god of good and a god of evil, or, you know, like you have some of them have nowadays, God and Satan or whatever. So Davka, we have the words, Kael HaKavod Hirim, that Hashem thunders against them and brings a thunder to scare them straight. As later on in the Sefer, we're going to learn the line that says that Hashem created the powerful boom of thunder in order to shake people out of their complacency and make people fear Hashem. So therefore, that's a very appropriate pasuk to connect with Birkas Aminim. Lud of Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, that it corresponds to the 18 names of Hashem in Kriyat Shema, then Keneged Echad Shebe Kriyat Shema. So the 19th bracha, the bracha for the minim, against the minim, corresponds to the word Echad. It's not a name of Hashem per se, but it goes against what they're saying. They're claiming that there's more than one, and therefore the word Echad is that meant to counteract them and say that no, there's only one Hashem. Lud of Tanchum, Omer Rabbi Shor ben Levi, and according to Rav Tanchum in the name of Rabbi Shor ben Levi, who said that it corresponds to 18 vertebrae, well, connected to Chulia Ketana, Sheba Shedra, you have one more small vertebra in the spine, which corresponds to the 19th bracha. Some say that that refers specifically to the Luz bone. So there you go. So either way, according to all these things, there were 18, but there was room for a 19th, and Rabbi Gamliel acted on it. So the Gemara continues, Tanan Abanan, Shimon Hapkuli, Shimon Kuli, that was his name. Rashi explains, Kuli is a person who sells bundles of cotton for a living. So that was his day job. He would go around selling bundles of cotton. But as we're going to see, he was also a great Talmid Chacham. Histir Shmona Eser Brachos, the Pnei Rav Gamliel, I'll say to Yavne. He arranged the 18 brachos in their order in front of Rav Gamliel in Yavne. Now, why does Shimon HaKuli need to do that? The 18 brachas of Shimon HaEsrei had been set up hundreds of years earlier by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So there's a couple of different explanations. One of them is the Gemara goes through in Megillah and explains that there's a significance to the order of the brachas in Shimon HaEsrei. It's not just that you have the three brachas, all this gurus of Kedushas Hashem, and then you have 13 miscellaneous brachas, 12 or 13 miscellaneous brachas, and then the last three, there's a specific reason for the order in which we have them. So now, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah set up that order. Over time, over the hundreds of years, that order had gotten messed up. For example, the Gemara talks about over here, we have it, and Gamliel is insisting that every person needs to daven Shemin Esrei every day. But we see that there are other Tanoim who are saying that not, that you can get away with davening Havineinu or other short Neschois like that. So over time, remember, there were no written Siddurim at that time, let alone printed Siddurim. So over time, the order was forgotten, and now Shimon HaKuli then had to reestablish the order. That's one explanation. Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif says another point. He says that actually until that point, even though the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had set up the brachas of Shemana Esrei, he learns it wasn't necessarily that everybody had to daven them, all of them, all the time. Whatever particular need a person had at a given time, he would say the particular bracha that has to do with that in. But not necessarily all the brachas. So now, again, so now Shimon HaKuli has to reestablish the order and to make it that it's official, everybody has to daven all the brachas in this order. A third point also, Joseph Rishonim points out, when you get down to it, a number of the brachas of Shimon HaEsrei had to be rewritten after the Churban. You have, for example, let's say the bracha, B'lu Yerushalayim Ircha. So when the Bais Mikdash was standing, you don't have to ask, Uvneyo Sabakorib Yameinu, it's already built. So they would have been asking, the Nusach would have been something different, that Yerushalayim should remain standing and Hashem's Shunah should remain in it, and so forth. Same thing with Ritzei, for example, the bracha wouldn't have been that Behoshev HaAvoda L'Dribei Secha, return the Avoda, it would be rather preserve the Avoda, whatever. So now a number of those brachas had to be rewritten, and Shimon HaKuli was the one who did that. So now, Omer Lahem Rav Gamliel L'Chachamim. Now Rav Gamliel says to the Chachamim over there, Klum Yash Odom, Shri Yedeh L'Sak and Birkas Aminim. Is there anybody over here who is capable of setting up, of arranging a bracha against the minim? We just said they needed at that point in history a bracha against the minim. We need somebody who was of the caliber to compose a nusach for that bracha. Yorad Shmuel HaKotan v'tikna. So Shmuel HaKotan went down and was mesakin. And he was the one who arranged the words of that bracha. An interesting point why it is that Davka was Shmuel HaKotan who did that. We do find in other Gemaras that Shmuel HaKotan was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, the Gemara Elders, Gemara in Sanhedrin, that says about him that he would have been Roy in his generation to be a Novi, except that the generation wasn't worthy of it. There's an explanation that he's called Shmuel HaKotan because he was only slightly small, he was only slightly lesser in caliber than the original Shmuel HaNovi. So therefore, he's definitely of a great caliber. But there's also the idea, it says, you know, his signature line, Kirkeyavis, is bin foil o yivchal tismach. When your enemy falls and stumbles, don't be happy because Hashem may redirect his anger from that guy to you. So therefore, Shmuel HaKotan, more than anybody else, has this mentality and teaches it to the whole Jewish people that even though we may have to daven for the downfall of our enemies, like the minim over here, after all, they are Jews, we're not doing it because we're not doing it out of hatred for them and out of good good for them, they get what's coming to them, but rather because we have to, al derech, like you have to cut off a cancerous organ or something. So therefore, he's the appropriate one to make them, to compose the bracha, to ask Hashem to deal with them in the way that he needs to, but not that we're doing it out of, that we're getting satisfaction out of that they're gone. The Gemara continues, the following year, at one point, Shmuel HaKatan himself was davening by the Omer, and he forgot the Nusach of the Barach. Again, remember, it was all Baal Peh. They didn't have written Siddurim back then. So he forgot the text of the Barach that he composed. So he's contemplating it for 2 or 3 hours, trying to remember the wording. They didn't take him away from the bima, from the shtender. They didn't tell him we need to have somebody take over as chazan. Imagine the patience of the people in the shul in that time. You know, nowadays you'd have, after 2 minutes, everybody would be newing all over the place. But yeah, anyway. So the question is not how did they have such patience, but the question is about my loy he'elu. Why did they not remove him as chazan? By the way, the expression he'eluhu is because throughout Shas, we say that when we talk about somebody davening by the Omer, we say Yored Lifnei HaTeva. He goes down before the Teva because he's actually, they would have it on a physically lower place than the rest of the shul in order, Al Derech, like it says, Mima Makim Krosicha Hashem, I call to you out of the depths. So therefore, so to take him away from being Chazim would be called Ha'elu. So why didn't they? Ba'omer of Yehuda Amarab, Tov b'chol ha'brachas kulon, with any of the other brachas of Shemana Esrei, if a person makes a mistake, ein malinoy. So we don't remove him from being chazen. We wait until he's able to. We wait until he's able to figure it out. The birkas haminim malinoy. So, but when it comes to birkas haminim, if he doesn't say it, we remove him as chazen. Chayshin and shema minhu, because we have to be concerned that he himself is a min and he doesn't want to curse himself. So how could they leave Shmuel HaKatan standing over there and trying to remember the bracha? Isn't there the concern that he might be a min? The answer is shiny Shmuel HaKatan d'ir tikna. The answer is Shmuel HaKatan himself originally composed the bracha. So he's obviously not a min if he composed the bracha, cursing them out. So therefore, we can be sure that he's not a min. It must be an honest thing that he really forgot the nus. He was also what? It was known, yeah, but that's the next thing the Gemara is going to ask. The Nechol Shvedilma Hodrebe. Don't we have to be concerned, even though, yes, originally he was a good guy, he was a great tzaddik, but maybe he went bad. The answer is, Omar Abaye Gmiri, Abaye says, no, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, Tovo Loi Havi Bisha. Somebody who was good does not become bad. A tzaddik does not become a rosh. So a tzaddik, like Shmuel tzaddik, we have no reason to think that he could have become a min. So they might ask, well, are you telling me that not? V'haksiv, Overshuv tzaddik mitzid kosei v'asa avol. Yechezkel describes a case where a person was a tzaddik and then he goes back from his tzidkus and starts doing evil. And the pasuk continues that Hashem will not remember his mitzvahs to his credit. The Gemara explains elsewhere. Specifically, we're talking about toya al rishonis. We're talking about where the tzaddik not only starts doing avodas, but he regrets to himself. He says, "Why did I ever bother doing those mitzvahs? What did I get out of them?" So then he loses the sky for those mitzvahs. Anyway, the point is that we seem to see the pasuk is describing that you can have a tzaddik who becomes a rasha. The answer is ahu rasha me'ikra. That's talking about a tzaddik, a person who was originally a rasha. Then he became a tzaddik. Now it's possible for him to relapse and become a rasha. Avot tzaddik me'ikra loy, but not if he was a tzaddik to begin with. In parenthesis over here, it brings an explanation that the reason is because since the pasuk says it was shuv tzaddik, which literally means that he returns. So therefore, it means that he returned to his original state of being, originally he had started, not originally started, had started out as a Rasha, but at some point earlier in his life, he had been a Rasha, and now he relapses back to that. If not for that, it wouldn't use the word of a shul. So the Gemara asks, still of a loy, so you're telling me that a person who was a tzaddik all along, will not become a Rasha? Don't we have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Al tamin ba'atzmach ad yom mosach, where Hillel says over there, don't trust yourself until the day you die. And a Braisa explains on that. Shari Yochanan Kohen Gadol shimish b'kohuna gdola peishana. We see that Yochanan Kohen Gadol served as Kohen Gadol for 80 years. All of a soif nas at tzuki, and in the end he became a tzuki. So you see that a person can be a tzaddik for many years and he ends up going bad. And the Gemara is assuming that Yochanan Kohen Gadol started out as a tzaddik. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, hu yanai hu Yochanan. The answer is, Abaye says, you should know, we know a story about Yanai HaMelech. We know a story in Kiddushin, a long story over there, where he ended up, where he came in Russia and killed the Chachamim. So therefore, Abaya says he is identical with Yochanan, with Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So in other words, the Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who served 80 years, is also known as Yanai. Yanai is known to have been a Rasha to begin with. So he was a Rasha. He's like what we're talking about over here. He was a Rasha. Then he became a Tzaddik and served as Kohen Gadol for 80 years. And then he ended up relapsing and becoming a Tzaddiki at the end of the 80 years. But we see, in other words, not that he was a Tzaddik to begin with all along. Rava Omar, Yanai Lachud, Yochanan Lachud. Rava says, no, they're actually two different people. Yanai is one person, Yochanan is a different person. In history books, they have that Yochanan was the father of Yanai. The difference is Yanai Rosha Meikra, Yochanan Tzadik Meikra. So Yanai started out as a Rosha, but Yochanan started out as a Tzadik. So therefore, so it's interesting. Now, the story in Kiddushin, the whole story of how he became a Tzaduki and killed the Chachamim, the name that's used over there is Yanai. It says over and over in the story, it calls him Yanai Amel. And that's this is the one who was saying who became a Tzaduki. So it would come out, according to Abaya, that story really is referring to Yochanan Kohen Gadol, but it's calling him by his alternate name, Yanai. According to Rava, we're saying over here, this story was about Yanai. The story of Yochanan becoming a Tzaduki is a separate story, which is not told over there. Anyway, according to Abaya, it's easy to see. We're saying, again, that a person who started out as a tzaddik will always stay a tzaddik. So therefore, or even if he deteriorates, I mean, if he still has bechira chavshus, but even if he deteriorates, it's not going to be so bad that he's going to become a minu tzaddiki. And therefore, if we have that, so if Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a tzaddiki after 80 years, it must be, says Abaya, that he's identical with Yanai, who's known to have been a Rosha to begin with. Elo the Rava Kasha. But how is Rava going to understand? According to him, even somebody who started out as a tzaddik, like Yochanan, and remember he's saying that Yochanan and Yanai are two different people, and Yochanan was good to begin with. Nevertheless, everybody knows that Yochanan Kohen Gadol became a tzaddiki. So according to him, we're back to the question. Why weren't the Chachamim concerned when they saw that Shmuel HaKatan is standing over there, unable to say Birkas HaMinim? Why are they not concerned that he at some point became a Min? Sure, he composed the Tefillah. And Yana and Yochanan Kohen Gadol was also a Tzaddik for 79 years, and then in the 80th year, he became a Tzaddik. So why are they not worried the same thing with Shmuel HaKatan? The answer is, Amalach Rava, Tzaddik Me'ikri Nami Dimo Hagerbe. The answer is, you're right, Rava says, you know what, a Tzaddik Me'ikri can also end up retracting the way he was and becoming a Rosh. Well, the question is, Yehochi Amai Loyasku, well then why didn't they remove Shmuel HaKatan as Chazan? And the reason is, Shiny Shmuel HaKatan, Joho Astoba, because the difference is that Shmuel HaKatan began the Bracha. Then, having begun the first words of the Bracha, he forgot the rest of it and he wasn't able to continue. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Rabbi, Tamer of Yeshua ben Levi, Loi Shonu El Shalai Hispama. This that we're saying that you remove the person as Chazan is only if he didn't begin the bracha of the min. Aval Hischoba, but if he began it, Goimra, then he's allowed. Then we allow him to wait and to finish it, even if he got mixed up, because then the fact that he said the first few words of it, Balamashinim Alti Yisitbo, or whatever the nusach is in different nusachos, the first few words of it already contain a curse against the minim or the malshinim. So therefore, he's obviously not that he's afraid to curse himself. It's rather that he truly forgot the words. So that's what happened with Shmuel HaKatan. Incidentally, by the way, I mean, we call it the bracha, we call it Birkas HaMinim. In our Nusach, it begins V'la Malshinim Al Tehisikva. Really, actually, you know, as you can imagine, that bracha, more than any other part of davening, has been censored over and over by different censors, by different groups or whatever throughout history. There are actually Nuschos where it begins Laminim Al Tehisikva, or Laminim V'la Malshinim Al Tehisikva. Very likely, that's closer to the original, since the Gemara calls it Birkas HaMinim. So it would make sense that it begins with a reference to the minim, whereas in our nusach you only have the minim in the middle. But anyway, that's how it is. By the way, there's a chassidish vort on this that says that for 80 years he was Kohen Gadol and then he became a tzaddiki. There's a vort on it that they say that the word tzaddiki, I mean, we know historically the tzaddikim were a group who believed only in Teresh Vassad, but the word tzaddiki, after all, is also related to the word tzaddik. So it means that after 80 years, he finally started feeling that he is a tzaddik. He started feeling that he is already where he should be. I've lived for 80 years and done everything I should and gone into the Kohen Gadol and gone into the Kodesh HaKadoshim 80 times. He started feeling a little yeshus that he really is a tzaddik, and that's what led to his downfall. Okay, the Gemara continues. Hani shivad a shabbos kneged me. So we discussed where we get the 18 or 19 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. What about in Shabbos davening and Yom Tov davening, we have 7 brachas. So why dafka 7? Why did the Chachamim make dafka 7 brachas? And the answer is Amar Chalasa ben Shol connected Shiva Kolos Shomar David Alamoy. Also referring to that same capital to them, Mizmor David, Hovel Hashem and Eilim, 7 times in that capital it says the word Koil, Koil Hashem Alamoyim, Koil Hashem Bakoyach, Koil Hashem Bahadur, and so forth. So therefore that corresponds, so the Chachamim use that as a basis for the 7 brachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what's the connection? Maharsho explains, the connection is like this. Again, we said that the brachas of weekdays are mostly asking Hashem for our needs. Therefore we want to associate them with the Shem Havayah. But we also have that, you're supposed to daven quietly. You daven in a whisper so that only you yourself hear it. We're going to talk about in the next parak, we're going to talk about the whole thing, how we learn from Chana's tefillah to do that way. On the other hand, on Shabbos, there are 2 things different in that regard. You're not asking for your personal tzrochim, because you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos anyway. And you can daven slightly louder. You're praising Hashem in the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, you can raise your voice. So therefore, the Chachamim set up the number of brachas corresponding to the number of times. It says the word koil, which means a sound or a voice to symbolize this idea that you're saying those brachas of praise to Hashem in a louder voice. Next, Hani Tesha de Rosh Hashanah Kenegin Mi. What about the 9 brachas of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? What is that 9 brachas corresponding to what? So Amar of Abba or Rabbi Yitzchok, to mean Kartignin, Kenegad Tes as Chorus to Amar Achana B'Tfilosa. It corresponds to the 9 names of Hashem, the 9 names of Hashem that Chana used in her Tfilah. And in her Tfilah, she said at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, we say it as part of that Torah, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Olat Zlibi B'Hashem, Roma Kani B'Hashem, 9 times in that Tfilah, she uses the name Havayah. What's the connection? On Rosh Hashanah, Sora and Rochel and Chana were all remembered by Hashem, and Hashem decided that year they're going to become pregnant and have children. So therefore, which is in fact why we read the story of Sora giving birth to Yitzchak on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and after it is the story of Chana, precisely for that reason. So therefore, very appropriately, the Chachamim made the number of brachas on Rosh Hashanah correspond to that. Maharsha adds that on Rosh Hashanah, what are we saying? It's a Yom Adin. You have to daven for Rachmim for Hashem. Therefore, like the weekday Shemoneh Esrei, we want to associate it with a number of times that it says Havaya in a certain passage. We pick the one of Chana because, again, she has to do with Rosh Hashanah. And again, like Chana, on Rosh Hashanah, we daven in a whisper. He brings that the Beis Yosef actually points out that on Rosh Hashanah, some people have the minute to daven louder, but different Rishonim are question that minute, and they have a hard time justifying why this should be. So based on this, we're saying, yes, it should be quietly, just like Chana's tefillah was quiet. And the 9 times that she mentioned Abba, that she mentioned the name Abaya, represent Midas HaRachmim, which we're invoking on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, 9 brachas. Next, Vahani Chofdala D'tan Nisa Kenegad Mi. What about the 24 brachas that we say on a Tainis? So the Mishnayis and Tainis tell us that when they would have a Tainis Tzibur, or not all the Tainis Tzibur, but certain ones of they would have various series of Tainis when there was no rain. And during the last few of the series, they would go out into the city square and they would daven there and they'd make a whole ceremony of it. And they would add 6 extra brachas to Shemoneh Esrei. After Re'ei Navanienu, after Baruch Atah Hashem, Gedol Yisrael, before Refa'enu, they would add 6 extra brachas. Each one, Misha Ona to so-and-so in Jewish history, who Hashem, who answered that person, or that group, who Yana Eschem, you should answer you, Mishra Kol Tzakas, Ne'im Azeh, and finish off with an appropriate bracha, so there would be 6 extra brachas like that. We have nowadays, we don't have Taniyas Tzibur like that. The Gemara mentions in Tainus that kind of Tainus Tzibur you can't have in Bavel, you can only have in Eretz Yisrael, and it requires a Beis Din Shel Smuchim to do it, which is why we don't have it nowadays. However, we do have, there's a piyut, there's a slicha that you can find in the Siddur. It's printed in the Siddur under the title Slichas L'Tachlua Yeladim, when there's an epidemic or a sickness, Rachman al-Tzlan, involving children. We also say it in Mincha of Yom Kippur, during Chazor HaShas. It begins Kael Na Rafon Na Tachlua Gefen Periyah, and it's a arranged according to the order of those brachas. Each paragraph of it ends off with one of those amenes. Anenu kshanisa l'Avram ibn Abahar Maria, anenu kshanisa l'Yitzchak at the Akedah, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so altogether you have 24 brachas, the regular 18 plus these 6. So why 24? It corresponds to the 24 expressions of pleading that Shlomo said in his tefillah. By the Chanukah Sabayis, he says a long tefillah when he's bringing the Oren into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He said a long tefillah over there. There are 24 times in that tefillah. The tefillah spans about 30 psukim, and you have 24 times in it where it uses the word rina or tchina or tefillah, which are all various synonyms for dam. So that's why we have 24. So the Gemara asks, by that logic, we should say 24 brachas every day. Why are we limiting that only to fast days? So the answer is, Ema Samunu Shloima. After all, when did Shloima say those extra brachas? V'yoyma derachmi, on a day when he needed extra rachmim, because as the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, when they were trying to bring in the Oren into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the doors were slammed shut and they wouldn't open, and he had to daven tremendously to Hashem for the doors to open, and eventually, even after all of that, actually it says, the Gemara says over there, even after all that, the doors did not open until he invoked the schus of David HaMelech, and then they opened. He says, Zachar l'chaste, David Abdecha, and then immediately the doors open. The Gemara mentions over there, and in Shabbos, that was meant as a sign, milamayla, that Hashem had completely forgiven David HaMelech for the sin involving Bathsheba. Anyway, the point is, so Shlomo was saying these extra things on a day when they needed extra rachmim from Hashem. So we also say them on a day when we need extra rachmim from Hashem, namely on a fast day. By the way, Eitz Yosef brings over here from a medrash that says the problem wasn't so much that the gates wouldn't open. The problem was that the Oren that Shlomo had made was 10 amos wide. In other words, beside the regular Oren that was made by Bezalel back in the desert was 1.5 by 2.5 amos, but Shlomo had made a much bigger one, just like he made duplicates of many other of the Kalim, and it was exactly 10 amos wide, and the gates were exactly 10 amos wide. So they couldn't get 10 amos into 10 amos, so therefore we had to ask Rachmin from Hashem that the gates should open wider. Piska, Mishnah quotes, Rabbi Yeshua, I'm in the Einyuches. Rabbi Yeshua says you don't have to daven the full 18 brachas of Shemana Esri every day. It's enough that you daven a semblance of the 18. So my Einyuches, what does that mean? Rab Oma Me'ein Ko Bracha O Bracha. It means a short version of each bracha. So for example, you start, so the first three and the last three brachas, he agrees you have to say in full. But after that, let's say for example, Atachonin La'odim Das, Baruch Atah Hashem Chonin Adras. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarah Secha, Baruch Atah Hashem HaRoitzeh B'Struva, and so forth, without saying the whole Nusach of each bracha. Or Shmuel says it's not even that, it's rather one bracha that encapsulates all the middle brachas. You say the first three brachas, then you say Havineinu Hashem Alekecha, Ladas Rachacha, Hashem, make us be able to understand your ways. That phrase corresponds to Atafainin. Umoilas Lovenu Lirasecha, circumcise our hearts, meaning remove the blockage of our hearts that we should fear you. That corresponds to Hashiveinu. Vesislachlanu, forgive us. That corresponds to Tislachlanu. Lias Geulim, that we should be redeemed. That's Ve'ein Avanyenu. Verachakenu Imacheveinu, make us distant from our pains, so that corresponds to Rafa'enu. V'dashneinu bin oisartzecha, make us be able to enjoy the fatness, make us fat in the beauty of your land, that's Baruch Aleinu. Unfoteseinu me'abot ha'kabetz, gather or disperse from the four corners, that's Tabashofer. V'atoyim al'daitcha yishoftu, those who are misunderstanding your words should judge. So there are actually two different ways that Rashi explains what that phrase means. One is ha'oibrim means ha'toyim, the ones who are going wrong. Al daitcha al devarecha yishafetu. The first one is ha'toyim al daitcha, the ones who are going against your ways yishafetu, they should be judged. So that would correspond to Melachayev Zdachol Mishpat. The other explanation, which Rashi prefers, is that it means we punctuate the sentence differently. Batoyim, the ones who are misled, who don't know how to judge properly, al daitcha yishafet yishpatu, they should learn to judge according to your way, according to your knowledge, according to your way of judging. So that would mean, in other words, that right now they don't know how to judge properly. Hashem, give them the ability to judge properly. So that would again correspond to Hashiva Sheftenu, that we should have our Shoftim should be able to judge properly. And Marsha says that explanation is better anyway, because the second one really corresponds better to the bracha Hashiva Sheftenu. If you say the first one, the people who are misunderstanding what Hashem says, they should be punished, then it doesn't really correspond to Melech Ayiv Tzedakah Uvishpa. Next, Ba'al Rishoyim Tonif Yadecha, raise up your hand against the Rishoyim, that corresponds to Balam Hashinim. V'yismuchu Tzadikim, may the Tzadikim be happy, that's Ala Tzadikim. V'vinyan Yirecha, with the rebuilding of your city, that's for the Yerushalayim. Over Sikun Heichalecha, and with the fixing up of your Heichal, is also part of the Yerushalayim. Over Tzmichas Kerem the David Abdecha, and with the growth of the power of your servant David. Keren literally means a horn, but often in Tanakh it's used as a metaphor for power. So that's a tzemach. And for the setting up of a candle, of a lamp for Ben Yishai, your anointed one, which is also part of a tzemach. And we finish off Terem Nikra Atasana. Before we even call out to you, you should answer Hashem. And we finish off Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atzila. So that's one bracha that encapsulates the themes of all the 13 middle brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. And then the Gemara goes on to discuss the dinim about it. It's not so simple. The daven havinenu, the Gemara ends up saying that there are certain times of year when you can't say it. You can't say it Motzei Shabbos, for example, because you're supposed to say Atachan Antoni. You can't say it during the winter time, because you're supposed to say the same Talam Lotter. And then there's a couple of other exceptions the Gemara mentions. Okay, then the Gemara goes on to say Piska, another quotation from the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer oy maho isit tefilah sekeva, the Gemara. B'chola. Rabbi Eliezer says that if a person makes his tefillah keva, a fixed thing, then his tefillah is not tachnun. Tachnun means that a person should be pleading with Hashem. So making his tefillah keva is not tachnun. So what does that mean? My keva. In what sense is he making his tefillah keva? Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Oshia, kol shetefilah se doima olav kimasui. It means when this tefillah seems to him like a burden. It's like a keva. It's a fixed thing. I got to get it over with. So let me knock it off. That would be how he said tefillah sekeva. And then we're saying that it's not, so then he's not doing tachanunim, he's not davening with a pleading frame of mind to Hashem like he should. But Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan give a different answer. Kol mi she'ena omer b'loshin tachanunim. Means where he doesn't say the tefillah in a way of tachanunim, the way that a person is expressing himself in davening, the way that he's saying the words, should be in a way of tachanunim, that he feels that he's pleading and begging with Hashem to help him. So Eitz Yosef brings over here, actually, from the Rosh, and Tosfos, actually, on the Gemara, brings it, they're both from Rabbeinu Hananel, that the Chachamim are saying that it's not so bad if doing the Olav Kamasri. As long as, at least, he's doing Beloshen Tachanunim, then the fact that he's saying, you know what, I got to get it over with before I lose the chance, is not so bad, as long as at least he's saying it Beloshen Tachanunim. Really, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should do both. It has to be that you don't consider it a burden to get over and done with, and that you say it Beloshen Tachanunim. But Gemara continues, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, the Amitavayu, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both give a third answer, Kol she'en yochel l'chadish b'dover. When a person is saying Shemoneh Esrei and he's not able to add something new to it. So in other words, Rashi says he's not able to have kavana to ask for the particular things he needs. So it's keva, it's the same words, the same fixed words yesterday as today and as tomorrow. So that's no good. In other words, you should be adding your own personal touch to Shemoneh Esrei. However, Amr Rav Zeira, Ano Yachil Ni L'Chadushi B'Milsa, Rav Zeira says, now, for example, I would be able to add something, I would be able to be in that frame of mind, or Mr. Pina, Dilma Matridna, but I'm afraid I might get confused, because again, they weren't davening with Sidurim in those days. If he adds his own words, he may get mixed up where he's holding and not be able to continue Shemoneh Esrei properly. Now, what it actually says in Shulchan Aruch is, in principle, in this connection, a person is able to daven Tfilas Nedavim. A person can daven a voluntary tefillah and add his own bakoshes to it. However, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you know what? Realistically, are we b'chlal m'chaven in the actual tefillahs that we say? Not really. So only a person who knows that he's capable of doing that, it should really be davening a tefillahs nedavim. So lemaisa, you can have, it is brought in Shulchan Aruch, a person can add to the middle brachas of Shemana Esrei whatever he needs that's appropriate to that bracha. He has, for example, he has a big test coming up, he can add a special thing in it for Atachonin. He needs to do extra truva for something he can mention in Hashiveinu, and so on and so forth, and then anything that doesn't fit in any of the others in Shmakaleinu. He's not required to do it all the time, partly because, like Rav Zeira is saying over here, a person might get mixed up, and partly because, look, unfortunately, we're not machaven that much in the Shemana Esrei that we daven as. Okay, well, we're getting close to the time, so we'll continue this paragraph tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Usually there is. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula for, what is today? Chavav Cheshvan. The Rebbe talked about Nasicha, but Oid Ve'ikir, he was talking about that this particular pa'ula that we were talking about before Rosh Hashanah should bring to the ultimate shleimus, the gola amitis vashleima, in a simple sense in the gashmius, and in such a way that it even affects the past. Meaning, even though the Rebbe says at this moment Mashiach has not actually come yet, but when Mashiach comes in the next moment, then he will make a chiddush, he will change, he'll bring in the aleph of alufa shel olam, even the moments before that, even the moments that still belong to Gola, that they will now be part of Gola. Halachas, we were still talking about dinim of mezonos food. When you have food that's made out of crumbled matzah or crumbled bread, for example, matzah balls or other such things. So you mix the matzah meal or whatever with fat and then eggs and whatever, and you fry them or you cook them. You say mezonos and alamichya on them, and the Alter Rebbe adds even if you kevei suda on them because they're not at all considered bread because they're made from ground up. They're made from ground up bread and they were fried or they were fried or cooked or whatever rather than being baked. Then you have a case where you have things that are made out of grain and are cooked together with other things. For example, let's say you have farfel that's mixed together that's cooked and mixed and cooked together with vegetables or whatever. Then even if you have or chickpeas or whatever, then even if one min is the majority, but since each one is by itself, then you would need to make two brachas, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Actually, the Alter Rebbe says that no, you would only say mezonos on that mixture. According to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you'd first make a bracha on some of the farfel, for example, say mezonos, and then make a bracha on some of the chickpeas and say hadama on them and eat them together. According to the Alter Rebbe, the mezonos would still be the main thing, and you would only say mezonos on it. As far as the gravy or the soup, it's tuffle, and you don't make a separate bracha on it. And then we'll continue tomorrow with other dinim about if the farfel or whatever sticks together, then it has different dinim.